The Seder night and the Yom Tov of Pesach are so rich with different themes and ideas that Chazal have developed. In a typical year, it might be a challenge to decide which theme to focus on as a backdrop for the entire Seder. But I think this year the choice was made for us. Let me explain. The Leil HaSeder is known as Leil Shimurim. The Pasuk says in Parashas Bo, Leil Shimurim hul Hashem lehotziyam me'eretz Mitzrayim. We find that the concept of Shmira is mentioned in many different contexts regarding the Seder, regarding Chag HaPesach. The Pasuk says, V'shamarta sachukah azos l'mo'ada miyamim yamima, that you should guard the chukah, the laws of this Yom Tov, miyamim yamima. What is the Moed that we're talking about? One of the Tanoim in the Gemara says that it's talking about Chukas HaPesach. The Pasuk says, U'shmarta mesamatzos, Shmir is associated with the matzos of the Pesach. Es Chag HaMatzos Tishmor, you should be Shomer, the Yom Tov of Chag HaMatzos, the Yom Tov of Pesach. We find the concept of Shmir is associated with the Yom Tov of Pesach. The Meshech Chochma in Parashas Bo points out that we find this concept of Shmir in a different context as well, and that is with reference to Shabbos. The Pasuk says, Shomer Yom HaShabbos Lekadsho, Shmira, with reference to Shabbos, Es Shabsosai Tishmoru. A person who is careful about the mitzvahs of Shabbos is called a Shomer Shabbos. Shmira is associated both with the Yom Tov of Pesach and with the Yom Tov of Shabbos. Apparently there's a kesher, there's a connection between Pesach and Shabbos. In fact, the 16th of Nisan, the day that we start Sfiras HaOmer, is called Mimachras HaShabbos. Pesach even is called Shabbos, Mimachras HaShabbos, the day after the first day of Pesach. So there's some relationship between Pesach and Shabbos. What is that connection? So the simple answer is that we know Shabbos is Zechel Amayse Bereishis. Shabbos is the Shorish of our Emuna that Hashem created the world. Kisheshes Yamim Mosa Hashem Es Hashemayim Ve'es Ha'oretz. Shabbos strengthens our Emuna in Briyas HaOlam, our Emuna in Metzias Hashem. And Pesach is a Yom Tov that's all about Emuna. That was the Tachlis of the Ten Makos, the Tzach Hadash Ba'achav, the Ten Makos in the three units. These were coming to show Klal Yisrael, to show the Mitzvim and the entire world, Ki Ani Hashem Bekerev Ha'oretz, and Ki Ein Kamoni B'chol Ha'oretz. The purpose of the Makos was to prove Mitzius Hashem, the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as a response to Paro, who said, Mi Hashem Asher Eshma B'kolo L'shalach Es Yisrael. The Makos were coming to show Mitzius Hashem, to prove HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. The Makos were coming to show Ki Ani Hashem Bekerev Ha'oretz, to show Hashgacha Protis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved with the world. Not only was he Borei HaOlam, but he's Maneg HaOlam as well, that there's Hashgacha Protis, that he cares about what's going on in the world. In 2020, and the Makos also came to prove Ki Ein Kamoni B'chol Ha'aretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's omnipotence, his control, his bailus over the world. He's the Baal HaYecholos Kulam, that he has absolute control over everything that happens in this world. That was the purpose of the Makos, to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu's dominion over the entire world, to give us Emunah B'Hashem. The Zohar says that Matzah is called Mechla de Mehemenusa. Matzah is called the Ochel, the food of Emunah, because that's really what Yetzias Mitzrayim was all about, to strengthen our Emunah B'Hashem. It's well known, the comment of the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo, that min anisim aguluyim ha-mefursamim ha-demode b'nisim ha-nestorim shem yisod kol ha-Torah kula. That the nisim guluyim of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the purpose of those supernatural miracles was to instill within us the Emunah b'nisim ha-nestorim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world on a daily basis, and even if Teva looks like it's a natural thing, it happens by itself, but it's a nes nister as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control of that too. And that's what Yetzias Mitzrayim was coming to demonstrate, to give us Emunah B'Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and also Emunah in Hashgacha Pratis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to run the world. And this is not just the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo, many of the Rishonim say this. The Rosh in his Sefer Orchas Chaim that he wrote as a letter to his son, to teach him about life, to teach him about Yisodos of Mesorah and of Emunah, he writes there, Kimisha Eno Mamin Asherotze Sicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Af Be'onochi Hashem Elokecha Eno Mamin. Someone who doesn't believe in Yetzias Mitzrayim doesn't believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world either. Emuna really is two things. There are two sides to the Emuna coin. There's Emuna b'mitzios Hashem, and there's Emuna b'hashgocha protis. Tur writes in Arachayim and Simon Tov Yud Zayin in the name of his brother that all of the Yomim Tovim are keneged the Ovis. Pesach is keneged Avram. Why is Pesach keneged Avram? The answer is Avram was the Amud ha-Emuna. You know, we think of Avram Avinu as the Amud ha-Chesed. He was the Amud ha-Chesed, but he was the Amud of Emuna in the world as well. Avram, Hikir Esbara, Avram was the first one to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Balabira. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the creator of this world. Avram Avinu planted Emuna b'chol boy olam. That's what he used to tell the people who ate in his tent. Don't thank me. You should thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the one who created the world. He's the one in control of the world. About Avram, it says, Vehem in Bashem. Avram was the source of Emuna for the entire world. That's why Pesach is the Yom Tov of Emuna. Pesach, which is the Yom Tov of Emuna, is the Yom Tov keneged Avram. And Lechora, that's the kesher between Shabbos and Pesach as well. Yerucham Olshin, in his Sefer on Yom Tov, he develops this idea that the kesher between Shabbos and Pesach is because the tachlis of both is to strengthen Emuna. Emuna in Mitzios Hashem and Emuna b'hashkocha protis. Someone who is Shomer Shabbos, that's mashpia on the way a person acts a whole week. Not just on Shabbos, but our attitude to Shabbos affects the way that we act the entire week. A person who realizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the creator of the world, and that he's in control of the world, he's in control of all the parnasa that we make. The person prioritizes his time differently, because he understands HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one giving him parnasa anyway. That's what Shabbos is about. It's a time that we can reflect on the truisms of life, a time that we can strengthen our emunah, that enables us to face the new week with a different frame of mind. And perhaps that's why both Pesach and Shabbos, the Torah uses the Lashon of Shmira for both of them, because Pesach and Shabbos are Shomer, the Yesod of Emunah, the Yesod of a Jew, Emunah b'Hashem. We're living in a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu has sent a strong message to the entire world, Ki Ani Hashem, to strengthen our Emunah, to recognize and to internalize within ourselves the Yesod of Hashgacha Pratis, to realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control of the world. The Bala Gada says, Uvemora Gadol Zo Gilui Shechina. Gilui Shechina brings about a Mora Gadol, it brings about a Pachad. We're living through a time of Gilui Shechina. It's a Gilui. It's just incredible. You know, the comments that people are making that, how could this happen across all the different continents, coronavirus spreading, man being totally not in control of what's happening. It's a Gilui Shechina. It's obvious to everyone. So many non-Jews appreciate it. And certainly, we appreciate it. The Gemara tells us in Gittin that when Titus HaRosha took the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash and he brought them into a Sfina to take them back to his city, Leishtabeach Be'iro, as the Gemara says, to show off in his hometown. Look what I've done. The Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a Sa'ara, he made a storm at sea. And Titus was going to drown. So Titus looked up to Shamayim and he said, you know, Kimedumali Shaloheim Shal Elu Engvuroso Elabamayim. It looks like, the God of these Hebrews, the God of the Jews, his Gevura is Bamayim. It's in the water. HaKadosh Baruch Hu drowned Paro and he drowned Sisra and he's going to drown me. If Hashem is really a Gibor, said Titus, let him come up to the Abosha and do Melchama with me there. Yotzes Abaskol, Abaskol came out and said, Rosha ben Rosha, Beria Kala, Yeshli Bolami, Vyitushma. I have a very small creature in my world, and that's the mosquito, the Yitush. You come up to the Abosha and do Melchama with it. And that's what happened. The Gemara says the Yitush went into Titus's nose, and it banged around in his head for 7 years, and ultimately it killed him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, over the past few weeks, months, has called out to the world. He's proclaimed to the world that I have a Beria Kala that's even smaller than the Yitush. I have a barrier that's microscopic, that the human eyes can't even see. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has brought the world to its knees with this barrier column. Is there a greater hochacha of Mitzios Hashem? We are living through a time when the Metzias Hashem is Goloi Lakol, it's our responsibility to appreciate that and to be mechazik ourselves in our emunah b'Hashem. Of course, looking out and seeing Metzias Hashem, that brings about a great pacha, the Yiras Shamayim, people are afraid, rightfully so. But I think that it can also be a source of great comfort to us. We know the Gemara in Tainis, Mishenichnas Odar Marbin Besimcha. And Rashi, we've mentioned the Rashi this year, that Yemeinisim Hayulahem Yisrael Purim UPesach. Everyone asked, what's the connection between Purim and Pesach? Why mention Pesach in this context? One answer might be that the Ramban, at the end of Parshas Bo, really gives us a deeper understanding of this Rashi. That there's a connection between the Neis Nigla of Pesach and the Neis Nistar of Purim. There was a Yeshua that Klal Yisrael experienced both at the time of Pesach and at the time of Purim. But when we look into Pesach and we understand that that is a Neis, that that's Maaseh Hashem, that makes us appreciate that the Neis Nistar of Purim, that the Yeshua of Purim is Maaseh Hashem as well. That Klal Yisrael at the time of Purim appreciated this wasn't just happenstance, it wasn't Mikra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was bringing about this Yeshua for them. And where did they glean that understanding from? Because they look back to Pesach, they look back to the Neis of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and they appreciated their emunah in the Neis of Yetzias Mitzrayim gave them the understanding that the Yeshua of Purim was a Neis as well. That is a source of great simcha. Mishenichnas Odar Marbin B'Simcha. Putting together the Neis, the understanding of Neis Nigla with the understanding of Neis Nistar can be a source of great simcha to a person. As the Rav often explained, the ultimate simcha a person appreciates is when he feels that he's lifnei Hashem. V'samachta lifnei Hashem Elokecha. When a person feels that he's lifnei Hashem, when he feels HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hug of love, that's what gives him simcha. When a person has emunah b'Hashem, and he understands that everything in life happens because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wills it to happen, that doesn't always make it easy. But it gives him a sense of simcha because he knows that there's a balabira, that there's a reason for what happens. And we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a tovu meitiv, that he loves us all dearly. Whatever he does is for our good. So it can give a person a sense of simcha. Emunah b'Hashem. Feeling that we're living with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're living in His arms, that He's holding on to us, that can give us a tremendous source of simcha. And maybe that's the deeper message of the Rashi, the Mishenichnas Adar Marbin B'Simcha, that the Nisim that happened to Klal Yisrael, Purim UPesach, when you put it all together, when you put the Pesach with the Purim, Pesach can give us an insight into the Nes of Purim. And that can give us a great source of simcha. Emunah b'Hashem, Emunah in the Metzias Hashem can bring about Yiras Shamayim, it can bring about a great pachad. It's scary. There are obligations, there are responsibilities a person has if he admits HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. But it also brings us to great simcha. Because we realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about each and every individual. That He's the one that we can daven to, that we should daven to, that we should be mevakesh Yeshuas from, that we should ask from Him for all our needs, all our needs in life, all the brachas that we need, all the brachas that we want. And that's a great source of simcha. That's the simcha of Chodesh Adar. When we understand that there's one address, that there's one address for everything that we need. We say in the Perek in Tehillim Yoshev B'Seser Elyon that many are saying at this time, at this Eis Tzara, Pasuk says, Ki vicha shak va'afaltehu asagvehu ki yada shmi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ki vicha shak va'afaltehu. Who am I going to save va'afaltehu? Ki vicha shak. Those who have a cheshek for me, those who want, those who love me, those who want a connection with me. Asagvehu, I will raise him up. Who am I going to raise up, says the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ki yada shmi. When someone has a yediyah, someone has a chibur with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, someone develops a kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he has a yediyah, he wants to know Him, he wants to connect with Him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Asagvehu. I'm going to raise such an individual up. Raise him above the times. Raise him above the tzaras. Above the trials and tribulations of life, and I'm going to bring him Yeshua. This Yom Tov of Pesach, Pesach Tovshin Pei, is a time to be mechazek, even more so, mechazek in our emunah b'Hashem. And Be'ezras Hashem, if we're mechazik in our emuna, then we'll all be zochet to Yeshua's v'nachamos bekarav. Leil Pesach is called the Leil HaSeder because the night is all about Seder. We have a Seder of Simonim. The Haggadah begins with the Seder of the Simonim, Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, etc. What's the importance of Seder? Why do we have to have a Seder? A sense of Seder. So there are different answers to this question. We've raised the question in the past as well. One possible answer is that Pesach commemorates a certain sense of Haschola Chadosha. This was the first time that Klal Yisrael became B'nei Chorin. We took our baby steps in Chodesh Nisan. We took our baby steps as a nation. And we're commemorating that Haschola Chadosha. In a sense, each and every Pesach is like a new experience for each and every one of us. It's like a new beginning. There's a Hischadshus B'Chodesh Nisan. We're supposed to start again, have a Hischadshus in all of our Avodas Hashem. And the first yesod, if someone wants to achieve Shleimus, is to see the goal from the beginning. To have she'ifos, to have a sense of where one is going. What do I want to accomplish? What do I want to do in life? In Parshas Truma, the Torah talks about the tzivui for Binyan HaMishkan, the command for the building of the Mishkan. The Torah starts by mentioning all the different objects that were collected, that were donated for the Mishkan. But then before the Torah describes the actual building of the Kelim, which Kelim was supposed to be made, the Aron and the Shulchan, etc., and the Kroshim, the physical structure of the Mishkan, first the Torah says, V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'socha. It says the purpose for the Mikdash, purpose for this Mishkan that you're going to build is v'shachanti b'socham, so that I'll dwell, I'll put my Shechina with you. Before any description of the Kelim or the structure of the Mishkan, first it says v'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. Why does the Torah say that? L'chora, we should have had the Parsha of Truma, the Parsha of Tetzave, let the Torah describe the details of the Mishkan, exactly what's supposed to be built, and then at the end, Torah will tell us at the end of Parashas Tetzaveh, it should say, V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. Why does it say it at the beginning of Parashas Truma? And perhaps the answer is that to build the Mishkan properly, we have to have a sense of the tachlis of the Mishkan from the beginning. We have to know and we have to emphasize and highlight what the purpose of the Mishkan is. It's for Ashras Ashchina. Why is that so important? Because the Bonim, those who are building the Mishkan, have to have that in mind. They have to have the proper kavana. They have to have the taras halev. They have to understand what the Mishkan is all about, so that they'll build the Mishkan properly and they'll make the Mishkan with the make the kelim with the proper kavanas. And this is true about every spiritual endeavor. For a person to really be successful in a dover ruchni, he has to have a sense from the beginning as to what he's striving for. What are his she'ifos? What are his goals? And then hopefully if a person internalizes those goals and he expresses them to himself, so then he'll be able to accomplish those goals. That's why at the beginning of the Seder we start out with the Simonim. Kadesh, Urchatz, Karpas, Magid. You got to know what the Seder is. What am I trying to do? Where am I going? And then hopefully if we understand what the Matorah is, what the Tachlis of the Seder night is all about, then we'll be able to internalize each chelik of the Seder, and we'll be able to gain from every chelik of the Seder. And it's true in life. A person has to have she'ifos at the beginning of a zman, at the beginning of a certain period of his of life, at the beginning of the week, the beginning of the chodesh. He has to have a sense as to what he's trying to accomplish during that period of time. And when a person has goals, so then it's a lot easier to truly accomplish, because he watches as he accomplishes, and if he falls short, then since he knows what his goals are, he's able to recoup, and hopefully he's able to truly accomplish the dreams that he sets out for himself. The first of the simanim is Kaddish. Part of what we say in Kiddush is Vatitan lanu es yom es chag hamatzos hazeh zman chayruseinu. Why do we describe Chag HaPesach as Zman Chayruseinu? And why do we mention this in Kiddush? Why do we mention Zman Chayruseinu in Kiddush? Sefer HaChinuch writes in Mitzvah Shin Vav, Shekol Ikaron Shel Yisrael Eino Ela HaTorah. The Ikar of Klal Yisrael is the Torah. V'hu ha'ikur v'hasiba shenigalu mi'mitzrayim k'dei shikablu es ha'Torah. That's why Klal Yisrael was redeemed from Mitzrayim to have a Kabbalah ha'Torah. That was the goal. V'otseisi v'yitzalti v'ga'alti v'lakachti eschem lila'om. The goal of the Geula was v'lakachti eschem lila'om, that Klal Yisrael should receive the Torah b'har Sinai. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, in the sixth parak, that ein lecha ben chorin ala misha osik b'Torah. That the true ben chorin is the one who is osik b'Torah. Meiri writes in his Perish to Avos, what does that mean, that the one who is osik b'Torah is the true ben chorin? Mipnei shenafsho eino mishtabedes l'tavosav hagufnios. Because someone who is osik b'Torah, his nefesh is not mishubad, it's not beholden to his physical drives and desires. Zok the Meiri v'zoi ha'cheirus ha'amitis, and that's true freedom. The one who is osik b'Torah is the true ben chorin because he's no longer mishubed. He's not mishubed to his taivos gufnios. He's not mishubed to his physical drives and desires. It's interesting that the Mishnah doesn't say the lomed Torah is the ben chorin. It's the osik b'Torah. What does osik b'Torah mean? It's someone who works hard in Torah, someone whose life revolves around Torah. It's not just a matter of time invested. It's a matter of attitude. That if a person considers Torah to be the ikar of his life, that's his esek. That's really what he wants to work in. That's what moves him. That person is a true ben chorin. What the Meiri is telling us is that the osek b'Torah, the true ben Torah, is free from the shackles of the physical world. He's free from his taivos gufnios, and that enables his neshama to soar. Right? The freer that one's neshama is, if the neshama is not burdened by the physical drives and desires of this world, so then the neshama is free. The neshama is a ben chorin. The neshama has the freedom to accomplish and to grow. The taivas, the physical drives and desires, are what makes the guf overpower one's neshama. And they prevent a person from achieving his tachlis. Esek b'Torah liberates a person and helps him achieve a sense of shlemus. And perhaps we mention Zman Chayruseinu Dafka in Kiddush, because Kiddush, Kiddusha means precious. Kiddusha means to separate from the physical world. Or perhaps better translated, to elevate the physical world, to elevate all of our mundane activities. The Torah doesn't want us to separate completely from the physical world. It wants us to take the physical world and to elevate that, to elevate everything we do, whether it's our eating, our sleeping, our working for a parnasa, everything that we do can be elevated. We can serve our Kadosh Baruch Hu in every single way. B'chol derachecha da'ehu. Our connection to Torah elevates us. And it liberates our neshamos and enables us to achieve our full potential. This was the tachlis of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that Klal Yisrael should receive the Torah, that they should become b'nei chorin in the truest sense of the world. They should have a sense of how they're supposed to elevate the physical world. And that's why we refer to Pesach as a Zman Chayrusein. Urchatz comes right after Kaddish. Urchatz, we wash our hands before we dip the karpas. We wash our hands for dover shetibulo b'mashke. Normally throughout the year when we have vegetables and we dip them into liquids, we don't wash, but on the Seder night we do something different, something strange. The Taz in Shulchan Aruch asks his famous question. He paraphrases the Baal Hagadah. He says, Manishtana laila ze mikol alelos, that we dip for davar shetibulo b'mashka. We never do this on any other night. He adds a fifth kasha to the four kashas. Why do we do this? The famous kasha of the Taz. There are many different answers given. I saw once a very beautiful answer that it's interesting. We find in another period during the year that we also have a chumrah in that period that we don't keep after the period. And that is that during Aseres Yimei Tshuva, we don't eat Pasakum. It's a meaning that's brought in Shulchan Aruch. It's like Dover Shetibula B'mashka. On the Leil HaSeder, we wash for Dover Shetibula B'mashka, but the next day, we're not going to wash for that. Certainly after Pesach, we're not going to wash that, but even after the Seder. During Aseres Yimei Tshuva, many are makpid not to eat Pasakum, but after Aseres Yimei Tshuva, after Yom Kippur, they go back to eating pasakim. So what kind of a game is this? If it's real, so then you want to change yourself, you want to add to your avodas Hashem, by all means, but don't go back on it. What kind of a strange notion is this, that we have chumras that we don't keep for an extended period of time? And some want to answer, the reason why we don't eat pasakim during Aseres Yemei Tshuva is because Aseres Yemei Tshuva is a time of change. It's a time that we want to do tshuva. And we want to start fresh. And the way that you start fresh is by creating a spirit of change within you. Creating an ambiance that will get you, that will get the person to change in meaningful ways. A person himself should accept different hanhogas to make himself better in his learning and in his tefillah and in his mitzvahs and in his chesed and his ma'asim tovim and everything he does. Aseres Yemei Tshuva is a time for a person to decide for himself what he can do better. But how do we do that? We try to create a certain ambiance of change, that there's change in the air, that he's doing things differently, that he remembers every time he doesn't eat pasakam, hey, you know, this is a different time. Maybe I should be better. Maybe I should be thinking about changing and becoming better. The purpose of not eating pasakam Aseres Yemei Tshuva is to create a ruach of shinui, to create a spirit of change, to bring that in the air, so that hopefully that'll be mashpia on a person to make other changes with his life. Other changes are the meaningful changes that hopefully will be lasting, even after Aseres Yemei Tshuva. And the same is true when it comes to the Seder. We're trying to do things a little bit differently. We're trying to add shinuyim to the Seder, to hopefully awaken within ourselves that this is a Haschola Chadosha, this is a time to have a Hischadshus, to have a new beginning, and to change our lives in other meaningful ways. And hopefully those changes will stick. Those changes that we decide to make in our lives will hopefully make an impression on us and will last even after the Yom Tov of Pesach. The Imre Emes is quoted as saying on the Mishnah at the beginning of Masechta Zvachim on Daf Beis, the Kol HaZvachim Shenizbechu Shelo Lashmon Ksherim Chutz MiPesach, that all karbanas that are shechted shelo lishma are kosher, except for the karban Pesach and our karban chatas. Why dafka these two? The Imre Emes suggested that Pesach is the Yom Tov Rishon. That's the time of Hischadshus, when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim. They became the Am Hashem. And the same is true, a person who brings a karban chatas, he wants to do tshuva. The Baal Tshuva is undergoing a metamorphosis. There's a Haschola Chadosha in his life. So the Karban Pesach and the Karban Chatas are two Karbanas that are brought during a time of Hischadshus. And when it comes to Hischadshus, everything goes after the beginning. The beginning is so important. Perhaps even more important than the Hemshach. When the beginning is strong, that can be mashpia on the whole Tahalich, on the entire process. Zokta Imre Emes, that's why the Karban Pesach and Karban Chatas that are Nizbechu Shalo Lishman apostle. Because Shalo Lishma at the beginning of a new process is the worst thing. Other karbanos is not as bad when it's shelo lishma, but the Pesach and the Chatas have to be lishma, because when the foundation is built properly, the foundation of a haschola chadasha, of a new beginning, is built properly, it's a lot easier to build on top of that foundation. Karpas. What's the reason for karpas? We take a vegetable, edifim and hogim, many people take a potato, others take other vegetables. What do we do? So the popular minig is to dip the vegetable, the parsley, the potato, whatever you dip, into salt water. That's what most people do. What's the idea? What's the purpose of the karpas? So the Gemara in Psachim says, "Kedei sheyishalu hatinokos." It's to get the children to ask. It's a different, it's a shinui, let the children ask, and then we'll start to tell them, Avadim Hayinu B'Farabim Mitzrayim, we'll tell them the story of Sipei Yetzias Mitzrayim. At first glance, the karpas is a zecher l'cheiros, Bnei Chorin tend to dip their food, Avadim don't dip their food. It's a zecher l'avdus as well, because we're dipping in salt water, the salt water is a zecher to the tears that Bnei Yisrael shed. It seems to be a mixture of different emotions. That's what the karpas is about. Zecher la'avda, zecher la'cheres. That's the popular interpretation. Rabbeinu Manoach in Hilchos Chametz Matzah in Perek Ches Halacha Beis, he suggests something different. He says that the karpas is a zecher to the ksones pasim. Rashi writes in Parshas Vayeshev on the word pasim that it's miloshon chur karpas uscheles. Lashon from the Megillah. Karpas is big day lavan, the expensive white clothing. Karpas is a zecha to the ksones pasim. Zecha to Yosef. The Beis Yosef quotes from the Mordechai a different minig as to what you dip in. That you don't dip into the salt water, but rather you dip into yayin. You dip into wine. Also sounds like a zecher to Mechiras Yosef. They dip the kutones, the shvatim dip the ksones of Yosef into dam, into something red. The wine, the red wine, is a zecher to the dam of Mechiras Yosef. This is not our popular minig. We dip into salt water. But it's mentioned in the Rishonim. Rabbi Manoach says that the karpas is a zecher to ksones pasim, and that seems to be reflected in this opinion of the Mordechai, this opinion of the Rishonim, that you're dipping into the wine, into something red. We find the zecher to Yosef at the Seder in another context as well, and that's the Dalet Kosos. Rashi in Arvei Psochim, in the very beginning of the Perek, says that Dalet Kosos are keneged the Dalet Lashona Shel Geula. That's the popular interpretation, that the four Kosos are keneged, the four Lashonos, the four expressions of Geula. But Rashi later in Arvei Psochim and Daf Kuf Ches offers a different interpretation. He says, you know what the Dalet Kosos are keneged? They're keneged the three times the word kos is used in the Pasuk V'kos Paro Biyodi. When the Sar HaMashkim describes his dream to Yosef, he uses the Lashon Kos three times. He uses it three times. And then the fourth kos is keneged Birchas HaMazon. It's really two days in the Rishalmi and Psachim, that either the Dalet Kosos are keneged the Dalet Lashona Shel Geula, or the keneged the Birchas HaMazon, and the three times the Sar HaMashkim uses the word kos. So that's another reference to Yosef, right? At first glance, that's a reference to Yosef as well. What does the Sar HaMashkim have to do with Pesach? What does he have to do with the Leil HaSeder? The answer is it's not the Sar HaMashkim, it's Yosef. It's just a way of alluding to Yosef. What's the idea? Why do we mention Yosef on the Seder night? What's the importance of Yosef? The answer is that the Seder night is a time that we remember not only Geulas Mitzrayim, but Golas Mitzrayim as well. And we know Mechiras Yosef brought us Golas Mitzrayim. That was the catalyst. That was the chait that brought us Golas Mitzrayim. And Dafka, at the beginning of the Seder, we dip the karpas, according to some Rishonim, we dip it into the red yayin, to remind us of Mechiras Yosef, not just to get the children to ask, but to remind us of Mechiras Yosef, because that's how all the tzaras began. That's how Golos Mitzrayim began. And to be zocha to a true geula, we have to learn from the past. We have to learn not to repeat the mistakes of old. So the first step of the Seder is to emphasize the idea of the karpas. Don't forget Mechiras Yosef. Don't forget what Sinas Chinam can do. When we engage in thinking about Geulas Mitzrayim, we talk about the Shibud Mitzrayim, we first have to remember how it all began. It began with a Mechiras Yosef, with an unnecessary chait. And by thinking about Mechiras Yosef, then hopefully we'll learn the lesson of Mechiras Yosef and we'll be able to be zocha to the ultimate geula. I heard once that the Chidah explained that the Tibul Sheni, the second time that we dip in the charoses, we dip the korech, we dip the morar, what's that keneged? So the Chidah says it's zecher to the tevila of the agudas ezov of the Korban Pesach. The pasuk says, "Ulokachtem agudas ezov." Take a bundle of grass, the ezov and the other grasses, and you dip it into the blood. Put the blood on the mashkof and the mezuzos, and that will serve as a protection. Interesting that the tibul sheni is a zecher to the agudas ezov of the Korban Pesach. Note the loshen aguda. Maybe that's the idea that we have the tibul sheni keneged the tibul in the agudas ezov to demonstrate that when Klal Yisrael is aged, when we join together, when we unify together, then we learn the lesson of Mechiras Yosef, and then we can be zocha to Geula, and we can say goodbye to the Golus. The next part of the Seder is Yachatz. The Rambam didn't do Yachatz at this point, but rather he did it right before Motzi Matzah. But we do Yachatz over here. We split the middle matzah and we hide the larger piece for the afikoman. What's the purpose of the yachatz? So the Kolbo in his parish on the Haggadah says that we're gonna recite the Holach Ma'anya at the beginning of Magid. One of the perushim in Lechem Oni is Madarko Shaloni Befrusaf Kan Befrusa. That the derech of an Oni is to eat pieces. He doesn't have a full bread. So too Afkan Befrusa. So since we're going to talk about Lechem Oni, that's why we break the bread. I saw in the Sefer Seder HaOruch, which is a collection of different perushim on the Haggadah, he offers a different interpretation, that maybe the Yachatz is a zecha to the fact that Anius and Ashirus, that poverty and wealth are a galgal hachozer ba'olam. It's a cycle. It's a cycle. Sometimes people are poor, sometimes they're wealthy. And it comes to remind us that there's no guarantee in life to appreciate what we have. It's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because there is no guarantee. We find many things at the beginning that we do in the Seder, we wear the kittel, we do other things to make sure that we're not carried away with everything that we have at the Seder. So this as well, maybe the breaking of the matzah reminds us. It's a subtle reminder that there is no guarantee. We should appreciate what we have. We should daven, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should continue to give us the bracha that we have. And some say this might be the reason that the matzos, the minig is to make the matzos round. Some have square matzos, the machine matzos are square, the hand matzos are round. What's this idea of making the matzos round? Some say it's the same idea that there's a galgal hachozer ba'olam. There are cycles in life. There's a life cycle. There are ups and downs in life. We should appreciate the bracha that the good times in life really are, the gift that they are. We should daven, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us bracha, because there's no guarantee. We don't know what life can bring. We should always keep that in mind, and we should daven, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should only give us bracha. We start Magid with the Holach Ma'anya. Holach Ma'anya Diachalu Avasana Ba'ara De Mitzrayim. What's the idea of this piska, of this paragraph? And why do we say Kol Dichven Yeseh V'Yecho? We're inviting guests, but we started the meal already. We said Kiddush, so what are we inviting guests over here? Someone asked me, how can we invite guests? This year we can't even have guests. So what's the Kol Dichven this year? The answer is that this paragraph is not necessarily an actual invitation for guests. What we're really doing in the Halach Ma'anya is we're expressing the contrast between Avdus and Cheres. That when Klal Yisrael were in Mitzrayim, when they ate the Lechem Oni, which according to many Mefarshim, they ate in Mitzrayim itself, the Mitzrayim didn't give them the time to make bread that would rise. So when they ate the Lechem Oni in Mitzrayim, they didn't have the ability to invite guests. There was no mokum for that. They weren't allowed to do that. But now we are B'nai Charan, and we have the potential to invite guests. We're not actually inviting the guests, but as the Rashbeitz in his parish on the Haggadah writes, B'Mitzrayim hayu avoseinu re'evim min alechem. They were so hungry in Mitzrayim, they didn't have the opportunity to share with others. V'ayom yesh lanu lechem lecho l'sava u'lasbiya re'evim shiyu ba'ochlei shulchaneinu. Now, Baruch Hashem, we have what to share with others. We have the ability to give to other people. So that's what we're saying. We're trying to highlight the contrast between the Avdus of Mitzrayim and the Cheres that we have now. So it's not an invitation. Maybe we can't have guests this year. But it's still appropriate to say this because we're trying to say that we are B'nai Chorin. And we're appreciative that we're B'nai Chorin, that we have the potential to invite guests because we have more than the bare minimum. Manishtana is, of course, one of the highlights of the Seder. We ask different questions about Chamitzu Matzah and Morer and the Shnei Tibulim and Haseba. What are the questions over here? And many ask, why don't we ask other questions? We should ask about the Dalet Kosos. There's no mention of the Dalet Kosos. The Rashbeitz, in his parish on the Haggadah, he says the reason why we don't ask on the Dalet Kosos is because it's not such a change. It's not such a change. People do drink wine on a regular Shabbos. The fact that we drank a kos of wine, that's really normal. The child is not going to ask on the Kiddush, because we make Kiddush every Shabbos in Yom Tov. And he hasn't seen us drink another three kosos, but he sees the matzah and the maror on the table. We drank the Kiddush behaseba, so he sees that we're being mesiv. sees that things are different. So you could answer the question from Dalakosos simply. But why do we have these four questions? After these four questions, what's the idea? Yeah, Babinel has a famous answer. He says that really the questions are one question, and that is there's a stira, there's a contradiction in the motifs of the Seder. That matzah and morar, he says, a zecher la'avdus. Matzah is actually both, right? It's a zecher la'cheres too, but he says matzah and morar zecher la'avdus. And then we have the shnei tibulim and the hesebas a zecher la'cheres. It's a contradiction. You can't have avdus and cheres in the same place. Why are we having contradictory motifs in the Seder? And based on that, you can answer the question of Dalet Kosos. It's not just asking questions because there are things that are so different over here. No, the questions are that there's a stira, there are contradictions. So once we've asked that there are contradictions, you don't have to ask more. There are two that are zeichel avdus and two that are zeichel cheres. That's the question that the son is asking. What's the answer? The answer is avodim ayinu lefar b'mitzrayim vayotzienu Hashem Elokeinu misham. The answer is that even though we've experienced the cheres, we don't forget the avdus. We don't ignore the avdus. We talk about the avdus. We do both. We talk about the avdus. We talk about the cheres. Why? Why do we mention the avdus even after we are b'nei charen? So first of all, the Malbim says that when we mention the avdus, then we appreciate the cheres so much more. The more we mention how difficult Shibud Mitzrayim was, so we appreciate when Makir Tov, Takarash Baruch Hu, on the great Yeshua, on the Hatova that he did for us, that he saved us from that terrible Shibud, that he took us as a people and gave us a Torah. That's why Maschil B'Genusu Messiah B'Shevach, one of the reasons to start with the Genus is that we appreciate the Cheres, we appreciate the Cheres of Yetzias Mitzrayim so much more when we talk about the Genus in the beginning. That's point number one. But point number two, the reason why we mention Avdus is because it's very hard to perceive HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'soch HaTzara. When a person is going through a Tzara, he doesn't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he doesn't feel him. But after the Geula, sometimes a person appreciates that the Tzara itself was good as well. The Novi Yeshaya says, Odcha Hashem ki onaf tabi yashov apcha usenachameni. Yashov apcha, when your anger goes away and you're menachem me and you comfort me, so then, Odcha Hashem ki onaf tabi, then I will thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for being angry at me. Thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for being angry? Yes, the Navi says that we don't appreciate the Tzara. When we're going through it, it's taka very difficult. But sometimes afterwards, we appreciate that the Tzara may have been good for us. For three different reasons. First of all, the tachlis of a Tzara is to develop a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through tefillah, through za'oka-based Tzara. That connection doesn't change. Even after one's personal ge'ula or after a national ge'ula, the connection that we developed in tefillah, that becomes a part of us. So we become different people. The tzara makes us into different people, into elevated people. So there's what to be thankful for. Despite the difficulty of the tzara, there's what to be thankful for. Because the tzara gave us a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's more, the tzara sometimes can reveal kochos ha'nefesh of the person going through that tzara. Golos Mitzrayim revealed Kochos HaNefesh in Bnei Yisrael, and every personal tzara person someone goes through can reveal Kochos HaNefesh of that individual. What's more, specifically, Golos Mitzrayim, Geulas Mitzrayim, brought about a Kvot Shamayim, a tremendous Kvot Shamayim. Avodim weren't able to leave Mitzrayim, and here Shishim Reba went out of Mitzrayim. There was a tremendous Kvot Shamayim there. So we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the Seder, not just for the Geula, but for the Tzara as well. Because through the Tzara that helped Klal Yisrael develop a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Tzara revealed certain Kochos HaNefesh, certain Midos, it gave certain Midos to Klal Yisrael. And the Tzara enabled a Ribuy of Kvot Shamayim that wouldn't have happened without the Tzara. So despite the difficulty of Shibud Mitzrayim, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We talk about the Avdus and we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that Shibud because it brought about a Ribuy of Kvot Shamayim. Skipping a little bit, before we mention the Dalet Bonim, Keneged Arba Bonim Dibur Torah, we say, Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu, Baruch Shenasan Torah, L'Amo Yisrael Baruch Hu. What's this statement here? We should just start, Keneged Arba Bonim Dibur Torah, that's it. The Shiboli Aleket, suggests that it's like a Birchas HaTorah. It's like a Birchas HaTorah. That before we mention the Psukim in the Haggadah, we say Ke'en a Birchas HaTorah. But because we've said a Birchas HaTorah in the morning, we don't mention the Shem Hashem, we just say Baruch HaMakom. The Rav suggested differently, that maybe the idea is that the word HaMakom is a kinui for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We use that kinui, we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as HaMakom, whenever there's an extra Gilui Shechina, more than normal. In a situation where one might think Chas V'Shalom, there's been a Siluk HaShechina, where the Shechina has departed, it's not here. Nevertheless, the Shechina is with a person, Imo Anochi B'Tzara. So then we use the Lashon of HaMakom to say that Imo Anochi B'Tzara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there even though we don't always see Him. Nicham Aveilim is an example. HaMakom Yenachem Eschem. Use the Lashon HaMakom. By Chola, HaMakom Yerachem Alecha B'Soch Chola Yisroel. By Sarah, HaMakom Yerachem Aleihem. Achenu Kol Beis Yisroel, HaMakom Yerachem Aleihem. We use the Lashon of HaMakom because we're talking about people Be'ez Tzara, where they're so well, they're in pain from the Yisurim of the Tzara, and it's almost like they don't have a Makom, they don't have any place. So we tell them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a Makom for you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the place where you should be. When Yaakov Avinu was going to Beis Lavan, it says, Vayivka ba'makom. Yaakov Avinu was going into Golos, and what happened? He was pogeya, he was nifka with HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tfila. He was going into Golos, it was a difficult time. What makom did he find? Kodesh Baruch Hu. Baruch Kvod Hashem Mimkomo. Yecheskel Hanavi was outside Eretz Yisrael. He was in Golos. He was in Chutz Laretz. And what did he find? He found that Kodesh Baruch Hu Mimkomo. Kodesh Baruch Hu was in a makom. Dr. Rav, that's why before we mention the Dalid Bonim, we say Baruch HaMakom Baruch Hu. To say HaKodesh Baruch Hu has a makom for every Ben Yisrael. Not just for the Chacham, but for every child. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave His Torah to all of Klal Yisrael. And there's a makom for every child to sit at the table. Metchila ovdei avodah zarah hayu avoseinu. What do we say? V'achshav kervanu hamakom lavodasa. Ovdei avodah zarah. A person can be in the lowest level. He can be a Rasha. He can be in the lowest level. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a makom even for him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu illuminates the life of every Jew. And he brings him to a Gilui Shechina. We say a little bit later, skipping somewhat, we say, Baruch Shomer Abtachoso LiYisrael Baruch Hu. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for being Shomer Abtachoso LiYisrael, for keeping His promise. That's a reason to be Baruch. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for keeping His promises. Of course He keeps His promises. Everyone has to keep their promises. What does that mean? The Rashbeitz has a beautiful idea. He says, Shomer Haftachoso here doesn't mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept His promise. Shomer doesn't mean keep. It means to be Yoshevu Mitzape, to anxiously await. In Parshas Vayeshev, after Yosef tells the dreams to his father Yaakov, it says, Va'oviv Shomer Es Hadover. Yaakov Avinu was Shomer Es Hadover. What does that mean? He kept the dreams? No. Rashi says he was Yoshevu Mitzape. He was waiting. Mosai Yiskayim Chalomosav. When will the dreams be fulfilled? Yaakov Avinu knew that Yosef had the potential for godless. He had the potential to be the Melech. And he felt that the dreams were going to be fulfilled. He was Yosef Umitzapa. Rashi writes in Parashas Bo that the Seder night is called Leil Shimurim Hu LaHashem. What does that mean, Leil Shimurim? So the simple pshat we say is Shama Min HaMazikim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us. Some people don't say a full Kriyash Malamita. But Rashi says differently, Leil Shimurim Hu LaHashem means HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Yoshev Umitzape. He was waiting anxiously to see when could He redeem Bnei Yisrael. Dr. Rashi Bates, that's what we're saying over here, Baruch Shomer Abtachoso LiYisrael. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just that He redeemed Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim, but that He was Yoshev Umitzape, that He was anxiously awaiting the moment that He'd be able to bring the Geula. Why do we praise Him for that? Because it shows His Ahava for us. It shows how much He loved us. That despite the fact that there was a gzeira, that Klal Yisrael had to be Meshubad in Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was chafetz. He so desired to redeem them. And He was waiting for that opportunity. Waiting for the opportunity to be able to bring them out of Mitzrayim, to bring them out of Golus. We quote the pasuk, V'nitzak el Hashem Elokei Avoseinu. Shenemar vayi bayam marab mahem vayamas melech mitzrayim vayonuchu bnei Yisrael min avoda vayizakum. That when Melech Mitzrayim died, so then Klal Yisrael cried out. Why'd they cry out just when Melech Mitzrayim died? So Rashi writes that he had tzaras, he didn't really die, he actually had tzaras, he was killing the Jewish children, v'rochetz bedamam, and he was washing, bathing in their blood. It's a terrible tzara, that's why they cried out. But the Pshuto Shemikra is that Paro died. Not that he was rochetz bedamam, not that he became a mitzora. That's what the Misa is. Mitzora is like a mace. But rather, Parah actually died. So why did Bnei Yisrael cry out? They groaned from the Avodah and they cried out only after Parah died. Why not before he died? The Chizkuni, in his Perush on Chumash, says that as long as Parah was still alive, Bnei Yisrael put their hopes into the death of Parah. They said, when Parah dies, things will change. Maybe the next Melech, right? The Melech Chadash will be better than him. But if the Paro died, and Klal Yisrael saw that nothing changed, it was just as bad as before, then they really cried out. Then they cried out, because they realized that things are not getting better. So then they gave up, and they cried out. Perhaps we can add that when they realized that they had nothing else to put their bitachon in, they had put their bitachon in the death of Paro, that's what was going to make their situation better. When they realized that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could help them, and that's the only address, the only one that they could put their bitachon in, so that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to their tefillos. Vatal shavasan el Elokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to their tefillos when they put their bitachon only in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin on Daf Tzadi Zayin that Ein Ben David Bad Shiyisyashu Min HaGeula. That Ben David, that Mashiach doesn't come until Klal Yisrael, so people will give up from the Geula. What does that mean, that they'll give up from the Geula? The answer might be that when Klal Yisrael are misya'esh from their own ability to bring the Geula, or their own ability to control life, to control their situation, and they put their bitachon ba'Kadosh Baruch Hu, at that point, when they're misya'esh from anything except for Koach Hashem, that's when the Geula can come. That's when the Geula can really come. We know one of the highlights of the Seder is Dayenu. What's Dayenu all about? It's a nice niggin. What's it all about? The Rambam writes in Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvos HaSeh Kuf Nun Zayin, that part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is Ulahodos Lo Yis'ale Al Kol Tuv Asher Gmalanu, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything that He's given us. We say a Hallel as a Hakaras HaTov. It's a Chelek of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's not just a response to the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's Mamash a Chelek. It's a part of the Chiyuv. You have to talk about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Mascha Begenusum, Messiah B'Shevach. You talk about the bad. You talk about the good. But then you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all of the Tovos that He's given us. The Iker of the Dayenu is really what we say afterwards. Alachas kama v'chama tova kafula mechupelas lamokom aleinu shotzionu mimitzrayim v'asa b'hem shvatim, etc. It's not just, you know, ilu hotzionu, Dayenu, Dayenu, Dayenu. No, it's alachas kama v'chama tova kafula mechupelas lamokom aleinu. Hakaras atov. That's what Dayenu is all about. That's what Dayenu is all about. Ilu kervanu lefnei arsina v'lo nosan lanu es haTorah Dayenu. Probably one of the most famous, and not the most famous, of the Dayenu is this one. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu had brought us to Har Sinai but didn't give us the Torah Dayenu, what does that mean? Wasn't the whole purpose of coming to Har Sinai to get the Torah? If we didn't get the Torah, so what would have been the point? What would have been the point of the whole thing? It's an exercise that never would have brought us to the dream that we had. The Rashbam and the Rosh are quoted that what the Baal HaGadol is saying is, Ilu ra'inu kavod Hashem dayenu. If we had seen the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai, if we saw the gilu shechina of Maimed Har Sinai dayenu, that would have been valuable in and of itself. Just the gilu shechina. Ata ha'reisa ladas ki Hashem hu Elokim ein od milvado. If we understood Hashem hu ha'elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everything. Even if we didn't get the Torah, there still would have been value in that. Because then we would have realized that there's a tachlis to life. Maybe we wouldn't have known exactly what to do, the details of the Tarek Mitzvahs, but we would have realized that life is not about a person pursuing physical pleasures blindly. Life is about living in an elevated way. So the fact that we would have come to Har Sinai and perceived that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Baal HaBira, that He's the one in control and He's the one that one should be serving, and one should seek out, maybe, one should seek out what the proper way in life is all about. Even if we wouldn't have had all the details of the Tarag Mitzvahs, Dayenu, there would have been a value to that as well. I still remember at the last Siyam HaShas, the Rosh Kolo from Mexico said a different pshat in this line. He said, maybe the pshat is that Ilu Kevono Fnei Asina, if we were zocha to Vayichan Sham Yisrael Neged Ha'har, if we were zocha to the Achdus of Klal Yisrael that we experienced at Maimon Har Sinai Dayenu, that also would have been valuable. Even without receiving the Torah, the Achdus of Klal Yisrael, the fact that we were able to be united together, there would have been a value to that as well. Just two more thoughts. After the Magid, so we have Motzi Matzah and Mor and Korech, etc. And then after Shulchan Aruch, we have Birchas HaMazon and Halel. Let me talk just briefly about Birchas HaMazon, Halel, and then Nirtzah. Why do we have Birchas HaMazon and Halel? Why are these parts of the Seder? Right? So Halel, we have Halel in two parts. Right? We have Halel before Motzi Matzah, Halel that talks about Yetzias Mitzrayim, it says Yisrael Mi Mitzrayim. That halal belongs at the Seder. We're talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim, but what does the halal afterwards have to do with the Seder? And why do we have a kos? Why do we have a kos for Birchas HaMazon? A special kos. It's part of the Dalet Kosos. It's not special to the Leil HaSeder. We do that. We have a kos shel bracha for Birchas HaMazon even outside the Leil HaSeder. What's the purpose of the Birchas HaMazon being part of the Dalet Kosos? It's interesting, the Gemara in Psachim on Daf Kuf Yud Ches writes that Revi Gomer Loves HaHalel VeOmer Halel HaGodol. We know that not only do we say the second half of Halel after the Birchas HaMazon, but we say the Halel HaGodol, the long Halel that we have as part of Pesukah de Zimra on Shabbos. Why is it called Halel HaGodol? Mibnei Shakadosh Baruch Hu Yoshe Berumo Shalolam Umechalek Mizonos Lechol Beria. Because Hakadosh Baruch Hu gives food to everyone. Nosin lechem lechol basar kili olam chasdo. That's the Halel HaGadol. The ikar of the Halel HaGadol is the last pasuk. Nosin lechem lechol basar kili olam chasdo. Hodu lekel hashamayim kili olam chasdo. What's the idea? That's part of the kos revi. Revi yagomer lo v'sahalel, but you say the Halel HaGadol. It sounds like that's an ikar part of the Halel. So perhaps the answer is, we mentioned the Ramban at the outset, that the goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim is to internalize the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam is Manhig Es HaOlam as well, that there's Hashgacha Pratis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides for each and every individual. The Seder is a time to make that jump, to internalize that connection between the Neis Nigla of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Neis Nistar of Hashgacha Pratis. And that's why Chazal emphasized the kos of Birchas HaMazon. That's what Birchas HaMazon is about, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the mazon, to thank Him for the parnasa. On a daily basis, we know Koshim is an oso shaladim kekriyas yamsuv. The Rashbam writes, Neis godol osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'mishanosin lo mizonos, kasher osa liYisrael shekor lohem yamsuv. There's no difference between the neis of kriyas yamsuv and the neis that the Ribbono Shel Olam provides for each and every human being, certainly each and every Jew. Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim is the time to make that jump. And maybe that's the idea that Chazal instituted two kosos on the Neis Nigla of Yetzias Mitzrayim and two kosos on the Neis Nister of Hashgacha Pratis in daily life. That's the Halel HaGadol, that's the kos of Birchas HaMazon, and that's why the second part of Halel is so important on the Seder night. That's one possible answer for why we have the second part of Halel. But I think there's another answer as well. And that is, the second part of Halel is a tefillah on the future. We know that the Tur comments in his Perish on Chumash that after Leah gave birth to Yehuda, she says, Hapam Odes Hashem. And the Pasuk says, Vatamod Miladis, that she stopped having children. Why'd she stop? So says the Tur in his Perish on Chumash, because she didn't daven to have more. So she didn't daven to have more. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't give her more. As opposed to Rachel, who said, Yosef Hashem li ben Acher, that when she had Yosef, she davened for another child, she davened for Binyamin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded by giving her another child. What does that mean? Rachel davens for another child. She's being selfish. She's not happy with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave her. The answer is, of course she was happy. She was so happy. But she wanted more. She wanted to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu more. And if she had another shevet, then she'd be part of Klal Yisrael in a stronger way. To be able to give over the Masorah to more children. To be a mother to more Jewish children. So she wanted to have that opportunity. When a person davens for bracha, to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu more, he's granted extra bracha. That's what we say in Berachas HaMazon, Hu Heitiv, Hu Meitiv, Hu Yeitiv Lanu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been Meitiv for us. But we say we're thankful for that, but it's not enough. We hope and we pray, we daven that he should be Yeitiv Lanu, that he should continue to be Meitiv for us. In Modim and Shmona Esri, we say, Nodu L'chol Nesaperti L'Asecha, we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the past, but we end, Atov Ki Lo Chalu Rachamecha, V'amrachem Ki Lo Samu Chasadecha, we hope HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not stop. He'll shower us with the brachas. And it's the same here. Yes, we're very thankful for Yetzias Mitzrayim, but we're still in Golas, and we don't have everything that we need. We're still missing a lot in Golas. And we recognize there's a chisaron in Kvod Shamayim as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kavod is not misgala to the entire world. And we have so many different tzaras. Tzaras in health, and there are tzaras in parnasa, both now and other times. People have it difficult. That's Golas. That's what Golas is. The Leil HaSeder is a time to daven. It's a time to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hatova of the past, and it's a time to daven for the future. Hatov ki lo chalu rachamecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you've given us so much. You gave us a geulas Mitzrayim, and we daven that you should bring us the shalom and the shalva, there should be a ribuy of kvod shamayim, you should bring us all the brachas we need, and put an end to all of the tzaras. That's part of the purpose of the second chelek of Hallel. That's what the second chelek ends. Ana Hashem Oshiana, Ana Hashem Hatzlichana. We daven for the future. We're so thankful for the past, but we daven for the future as well. That's the goal of the Hallel. The Hallel, the second part of Hallel, first of all, gives us the opportunity to make that jump from Neis Nigla to Neis Nista, to appreciate Hashgacha Pratis, the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam is involved in the lives of each and every individual. And the second message is that the second chelik of Hallel is a tefillah lahaba, it's a tefillah for the future, that we're so thankful for the past, but we daven for the future as well. And finally, we know that the Seder ends with Nirtza. What is Nirtza all about? It's piyutim. Different songs, different piyutim. What's that have to do with Tzipi Yetzias Mitzrayim? To keep the children awake, singing more songs? What's the idea? The answer is that we know the Seder has many nihugim that are zecher lemikdash. The Korech and the Afikoman, zecher to the Korban Pesach, to the sandwich day with the Korban Pesach, the Zroah and the Beitzah and the Ka'ara. So many customs that we have at the Seder that are zecher, zecher to the Mikdash. And what does that mean, zecher lemikdash? Zecher to the Hakrova of the Korban Pesach at the time, Bisman Shebeis HaMikdash HaYakayim. We know what's the ikar of the carbon. The ikar of a carbon is the ritzui of the carbon. The ritzui of the carbon. That it's a reach nichoach, that the Ribbono Shel Olam accepts the carbon, that he's misratza. The nirtza is the ikar. That's the ikar of the carbon. And that's why we end the Seder with nirtza. We end with ritzui, with piyutim about gadlus sabore, kilo noe, kilo yoe, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is worthy of all the praises. We end with piyutim about hishtokakus, our longing for the Beis HaMikdash. Adir hu yivne Beis HaBekarov. We want the Beis HaMikdash. We end with piyutim on emuna, echad mi yodeya, echad elokeinu hu bashamayim hu va'oretz. We end with piyutim about emuna and all of this. The piyutim about emuna and gadlus habori and binyan Beis HaMikdash. It's all that our seder should be miskabel, just like a carbon. We don't have the carbon, bizman hazeh. But we hope that our Seder will be miskabel ke'ilu, ke'ilu hikravnu es HaKorban Pesach. That's the goal of the Nirtza, not just to sing. But as we're singing, we should say HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be mekabel the Seder. He should be mekabel our Seder in place of the Korban Pesach. He should be mekabel all of our tefilos. We should be merutza to him. And he should grant us all of the brachas. That's taka how we begin the Nirtza. Chasal si de Pesach ilchasa. We finish what we can. We finish what we can. But we hope kasha zochinu l'sader also kenizke l'asoso. We should be zocher Kadosh Baruch Hu should say, Yomar Dai Letzaroseinu, he should say that Atzara should come to an end. He should shower us with all of the brachas that we need. He should bring us to the ultimate Geula, to the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, B'mheira V'yameinu, Amen.